Blog Talk Radio.
Figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Son 752, aka Omar with the rrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Son show all up in your area. And today, on this beautiful Saturday, it ain't really beautiful. It's overcast. It's raining out there. It's a little bit cold, chilly, bone chilling, and all that kind of stuff. It's like the spring doesn't really want to kick in, but the sun always shines. And I'm not talking about me ego-wise. I'm talking about the sun in the sky, and that's the reason that the light is out there. And sometimes we don't take time out enough to appreciate the light that we see. You know, it helps us to be able to see things clearly. Metaphorically speaking, the reason that we are able to navigate our way through the day is because the light coming from the sun is behind the clouds. And somewhere else in the world is shining bright directly on them with no clouds to block them and no rain to wet them up. There are some places in the world where they will pray for rain. A lot of times we take it for granted. And in the United States, we take a lot of things for granted. We do. We take a lot of things for granted, like our food supply. We take that for granted. And we have been conditioned to take it for granted because we have had it so plentiful, so bountiful, so much in abundance that we couldn't imagine life without it. So when we see little children and people starving, skinny, or swollen because of famine and things like that, wiping flies off of their skin and things like that, you know, that's a hard thing for us to fathom because we don't know what it's like not to have food on the table. We only know what it's like not to have food that we like on the table. That's how blessed we are. So, you know, in the United States, for whatever reason, because they normally are some type of financial reasons attached to when they lend support to another country. What if those countries, when they were in trouble, what if they said, oh, nah, U.S., yo, United States, yo, America, yo, you ain't come around when we was having problems with this country and with this person, when this faction over here and this regime was trying to invade and all that, or when we was trying to get this thing done, when we were trying to expand and when we were trying to get something for our people. So don't come around now, America. What would that be like? It would be like something that we never heard of before because it doesn't happen. Politically around the world, you accept the help from where it comes from, except in certain situations. Except in certain situations that we can talk about. But in our personal lives, we may turn people away that haven't been coming around all the time, every day. We may do it, you know? So with that being said, we have to take what we can get. We have to take what we can get. So when we talk about dealing with your random supporters, who are your random supporters versus your number one supporters? You know, can you have more than one random support? I mean, I'm sorry. Can you have more than one number one supporter? I don't know if we think about that. Listen, I've had a few people tell me that they were my number one supporter, number one supporter. And I imagine in their minds that they were. And I don't blame them for feeling that way. What they do know is that they're there and that they're rocking and, you know, they're down and in total support. I ain't going to be mad at that. No. All right. Yo, what's going on, T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night? It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your sight. And Emily Dunlap is in the house. Wow, she's about to turn it out. And Ja Biggs, thanks for coming through. That's my kid. I'm glad you came on through. Did you know that I did? All right. So that's what we're talking about today. How do you deal with your random supporters, people who aren't there for you all the time? Do you accept their help? Do you accept their assistance? Do you accept them just being there? Moral support, whatever the case may be. You know, do you send them away and tell them, don't come back until you're totally loyal. You know some of us do that. Don't come around cheer. Don't come around cheer until you're going to be around here for good. This, when you support me, this is a life sentence. A life sentence. I don't know, man. In show business or any business, you have to accept the people who support you on whatever level. Because if you don't, there can be a problem. Major. There can be a major problem with that. It can have a direct effect on your bottom line. So in our personal lives, a lot of times when we aren't supported the way that we want to be supported or we turn away support, it can have a direct effect on the way that we feel about things. The way we feel, and y'all know, for some of us, all we have left is our feelings. All we have left is the way we feel. You know how it go. You know how it be. You know how it be. Sports. Shout out to Philadelphia 76ers. They won last night, and they won by a lot, which shows that they can win without Joel Embiid. And the way things were looking with Miami taking the first two games in Miami, which shouldn't have happened because those were winnable games. But they were winnable in the eyes of the fans. We're not out there on the court. We're not out there on the court in real time having to deal with what the players are dealing with. But one thing a sports franchise cannot afford to do is punish the fans or blow off fans because they don't come to the games all the time, or because they don't watch their games or buy paraphernalia and merch and all that kind of stuff all the time. Businesses can't do that because they will be out of businesses with the quickness. Imagine if the Sixers said, well, yeah, y'all fronted on us on those first two games, so don't come to game four and five. I mean, I'm sorry, game three and four. You know, them tickets going to get sold. We'll take whoever wants to sit in these seats. These are not assigned seats. They're just expensive seats. And we need to get behinds, butts in these seats. So you got the money, we'll accept your support. You know, we have certain very emotional athletes out there that even though they're great, probably some of the best in the world, they feel some kind of way when fans criticize, call them garbage. Oh, man, he's trash, washed up. Imagine being James Harden right now on the Sixers. He is washed. Reading that about yourself every day. You've been doing this all your life at an extremely high level. And just because you have had a consistent track record of not exactly performing up to standards in the playoffs, people are saying that you're washed up. Is it true? Whether it's true or not is not as relevant as the fact that he has to push through that. And he has to accept the support that he gets regardless, because his bottom line is directly affected by that. Nobody is going to draft a player or sign a player that the fans will not come out to see. Doesn't work that way. It's all business. Excuse me. It's all business. It's all business. So they can't let their personal feelings get in the way of this business. They got to get this money, baby. My brother Ansel Jones is in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? How you feeling, my man? Ansel says, what's up, Omar, with the R job? That's what's up. He says, sometimes standards are different. Job standards are different, making millions. That's right. But a lot of times, Ansel, we don't take cues and examples from things that we consider to be bigger than us, even though we have a direct opinion on it. So I'm saying that to say this. If you see that some of the things that you support randomly accept your support, why would you turn around your people? Why would you turn the people around that are trying to support you? Why would you turn them away because they're not there every day or whatever schedule that you've tried to put them on? The goal is to have enough that you don't even have to worry about it. That's the goal. But on your way to building that, you're going to need everything that you can get. You know? I remember back in the day, Raekwon, the chef of Wu-Tang, he said, you know, what we do ain't for everybody. You know how he talk. What we do ain't for everybody. It's for certain niggas, certain fans. And I felt what he was talking about. I did. But when you break it down, he was talking a lot of shit. Because he sold his records to everybody, not certain niggas, certain fans. His record company wasn't trying to hear that shit he was talking about. Nah, these records are for everybody. Everybody buy a copy. Let us go diamond. Diamond is 10 million. It's very hard to sell that many records. Extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. There are only a few rappers who have done it. MC Hammer, I believe. Even Vanilla Ice didn't do that. Beastie Boys, no. Eminem. I thought Puffy had done it, but it turns out he didn't. Let me see. Hold on. This is a side note. But let's see what we can do. Rappers that have sold 10 million albums.
Records sold 2.
What rappers' albums have sold 10 million?
They hit their home run with the double album Speaker Box / The Love Below, two solo projects rolled into one, which sold over 10 million albums, thanks to the massive hits Hey Ya by Andre 3000 and I Like the Way You Move by Big Boi.
That album did not sell 10 million copies. It was a double album that sold...
Experimented with career.
Shut up!
They are better together than apart.
They suck. No, they don't suck. All right. I like Outkast. But yeah, they did not sell 10 million out. They sold 5 million of a double album. I'm not going for that being 10 million. I'm not. No. Two separate projects that sold 10 million. The Notorious B.I.G., same thing. 5 million of one album. A double album, no. Big not getting it. Ludacris, he ain't selling no 10 million. Let me see. Ludacris? Let me see. Probably the known single after the millennium, probably the best known single rapper. Come on. What album? Debuting on Timbaland Beat, Fat Rabbit Guys. What is the name of the album? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, no, this is the highest selling rappers. I ain't asked you that. This is ridiculous. All right. So number one is Eminem. Ooh. After the diamond selling albums, the Marshall Mathers LP, and the Eminem Show. So he went diamond twice, Eminem did. I knew that, too. Then they're saying, all right, Jay-Z never went diamond. He didn't go diamond. He sold a lot, but he made a lot of albums. Tupac, 5 million of a double album. All Eyes on Me. Y'all not doing this. Look, the Beastie Boys, number 4. Okay, all right. DMX went diamond. He did. DMX went diamond. That's why he was spectacular. MC Hammer went diamond. All right, forget this. Forget this. Okay. All right. I know what to do. What is the best-selling rap album? All right, here we go. 10 best-selling rap albums ever. Okay, gosh. All right, speaker box number 2. Marshall Mathers, Life After Death, Biggie. Okay. Like I said, I'm not counting that. MC Hammer, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. That sold 10 million. Straight up and down. I remember it. I remember being pissed off about it, but hey. All right. Hold on. Tupac, All Eyes on Me. Beastie Boys, License to Ill. License to Ill sold 9 million. Diamond is 10 million. All right. Cool. Nelly, Country Grammar, 8.6 million. 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die, Try It. So, you know what? Honestly, I don't think that Biggie would have sold 10 million had he lived. And I'm not hating on B.I.G., but he sold 2 million of his first album, Ready to Die, which is a lot of albums, especially for your debut album. But it was 2 million. To expect him to add 8 more million on top of that, I think that was a tall order. But because he died, I think that helped out a lot. But still, like I said, he sold 5 million in his death, but it was a double album, so they're calling it 10 million. The same thing with The Love Below. 11.4 million. No, they sold 5 and 6. That speaker box. I can't. Anyway, so they're not selling to only their biggest supporters. You'll never get paid that way. You'll never advance that way. You'll never gain the fame, notoriety, and the financial gain that you're looking for, only limiting yourself to those who support you the most. Because as you learn and grow, that's all going to change anyway. What you consider to be support is going to change over time. But let's get personal with it. First of all, I'm going to thank y'all for coming through. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Saturday afternoon. Stacey White says, in my case, they come around to be nosy.
Okay.
And so Jones says, Nas' album was a classic to the streets, but not to pop culture. That's right. Nas' first album, Illmatic, one of the greatest rap albums ever, didn't even go gold. It didn't go gold until his second album went platinum. Jay-Z's first album never went gold. He had a single that went gold. Ain't No Nigga. Ain't no nigga like the one I got. No one can fuck you better. Yeah. Yeah. Sleeps around, buddy. Loves me a lot. Shout out to Fox Brown. Foxy Brown. Jay-Z didn't go platinum until his third album. His first three albums didn't go gold. He went straight from 300,000, 400,000 sales, but not gold. Not certified gold. RIAA. Nope.
Then when Tupac and Biggie died, it opened up a lane for them. Love it or hate it, respect it or not, it opened up a lane for them, and people were able to concentrate on Jay-Z a little bit more. People knew him and people liked him, but they just weren't checking for him like they were checking for everybody else. So while Notorious B.I.G., while Biggie and Pac and Wu-Tang and Nas and all of them were selling, while they were selling records, Jay-Z was the known good rapper who everybody was thinking like, yo, in a minute he's about to blow. He got the right stuff. But they had to get out of the way. I'm saying all that to say, Jay-Z killed Biggie and Nas. I mean, Biggie and Pac. He tried to kill Nas, but it didn't work. Ether. Ansel says, people don't think about the sales in different countries. Those are real supports. They always say how many albums or records that you sold worldwide. So, you know, New York rappers back in the day, all they thought about was New York. Long as they was the shit in New York, then they didn't feel like they needed to be great anywhere else. And for a while, other rappers from other places felt like they had to make it in New York or they never really made it. Hammer talked about that. Hammer, you ain't hitting in New York. What? Well, what you gonna do about that? What you gonna do now, Hammer? I'ma turn this mother out.
Oh, God, I was like,
he sucks. Funny, because I respect Hammer now. But when I was 18, 19 years old, I was like, this guy can't rap. He sucks. He's bad. He's bad, bad. But let's get personal with it, y'all. What about you? When the friends that you used to hang around with all the time, when you had a group of friends, when you was crew, when your boys or your girls, whatever, you know, when y'all used to hang with each other like that all tight when y'all were young and y'all focused on everything in life was different. When it wasn't like that no more, when y'all didn't roll tight as y'all used to roll anymore, do you turn your friends away? Do you feel some kind of way? Do you feel abandoned by them? And when they come back through, call you, see how you doing, text you, you know, knock on your door, go around your mom's house, ask about you, things like that. Do you feel some kind of way because they're not there? Do you try to punish people for coming around or coming back into your life because they haven't been there for a while? And I ain't talking about on no baby I'm back type shit like that. I'm not talking about, you know, well, you know, when we was together, when everything was good between me and you, and, you know, when it was all right, when I was taking you on trips and making sure that your kids had school clothes and Christmases and birthdays and all of that. It was all good when I was blah, 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 when I was... I'm not talking about somebody that's coming back to get with you, you know, in a relationship type of way. I'm talking about old friends, old people that you... people from back in the day or whatever that you really look to as support systems for you. People that you really considered to be your people and to come through for you and to help you out and to love you and to have your back, to be supportive in times when you really needed that support. Do you punish them when they haven't been around in a while and then they come around? Do you? Do you? Because sometimes we do. On social media, we see it all the time. I see you on my page lurking. You ain't liking nothing. You ain't commenting on nothing. You just, what do they call it? Is that what they call it? Lurking? Spying? There's another word, people, that I consider to be really self-absorbed on social media. There's a word that they use to to describe people who come to their, who they suspect come to their pages, but don't say anything or whatever. And Facebook got a little hip. Back years ago, you used to be able to tell who came to your Facebook page a lot, because when you go to your page, the profiles of the people that were there that came to your page, that visited your page a lot, would be on that page, the algorithm. So whether they commented reacted or anything on your page, you kind of knew who was stopping by. It's not really like that anymore. You know what I mean? They took a, now the friends that you have just, that you have most recently friended or accepted friend requests from, are the people who are on your page. How does it go? I don't know why I'm messing that up. Let me see. Yeah. When they show your friends list, it used to be the people that visited your page the most. They never admitted that, but you could tell. Like, so people be like, I don't be going by your page or whatever. You're like, now it's the people that you most recently befriended. But then again, I don't know what my page looks like from somebody else's phone or perspective. Have you ever went to Facebook on an Android and went to Facebook on an Apple phone or iPhone? It's different. They don't look the same. I'd be like, the whole user interface is different. Different. And it's funny because I tease people and talk about Android versus iPhone all the time. iPhone and Android, they don't give a shit. Just buy the phone. Please, just buy a phone. Yeah, all that loyalty. Yeah. Money. Ansel Jones says, imagine all of your social media friends support your business. 1,000 people buy your product. Yeah, well, the problem is you would have a maximum of 5,000 people. Imagine if all your Twitter or all your Instagram people, if you have thousands and thousands of followers, imagine if they supported your business. Facebook don't want you to be great. Stacey White says, Lord, forgive me. They can take the middle finger. Okay. And so says, that's for all the people that allow friend requests from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey White says, lurking and then texting pictures of their life at some 7:30 a.m. Hell, I can see if it was a man. Oh, I don't know. You talking different. I'm not sure if I, you know what I mean. I'm not sure if I, you know what I'm saying. But nonetheless, I, you know what I mean. But yeah. Who would y'all say are your number one supporters, your biggest supporters? Who would y'all say? Who would you say they are? In your life, for whatever reason, who would you say your biggest supporters are? Who would they be? What would they look like? What are their profiles like? Bless you too. Thank you. Bless all y'all. But especially the ones who said bless you. Appreciate it. But yeah, who would you consider your biggest supporters to be? And what does support look like for you? What does a support, if you had to draw up, or draft a blueprint of what support for you would be like. What would it look like? Would it be money support? Would it be physical support? Would it be moral support? Would it be protection, defense? Would it be verbal support? You be my mouthpiece where I don't know how to speak as well, or where I can't. You know? Would it be physical support in the form of, yo, I actually need you to help me stand up? You know, my leg, I've been afflicted with a condition. I need actual physical help. Standing up, walking, going places, you know. I need somebody that's going to understand and somebody that's going to be there. Will it be you? Will it? Will it? Will it? Support comes in a lot of different forms for a lot of people. For some people, it might just be showing love. Maybe you grew up in a family or in a situation, in an environment that never showed any open displays of affection. You've never heard "I love you" from a family member. Speaking of family members, is it necessary for you or to you that your family be your biggest supporters? Is it like my brothers and my sisters and my mama and my daddy and my aunts and my uncles and my cousins? My cousins are just like brothers and sisters, and I miss them when they're not coming around, and I know that they're down like a submarine, and I'm glad that they keep my thing clean. And we on the scene, I see them. And when you see me, you see them too. And they're going to come through. Well, is it like that? Yes. Are your family your biggest supporters? Or are your family your random supporters? Do you have a problem with your family being your random supporters? Do you feel like they don't look out enough when you need them to be there? When you need a place to stay, can you go to your people's crib and tell them you need them to put you up for a little while? If you need a couple of dollars, if you're low, if the bills are kicking in, things are getting ready to be turned off, can you go to your peoples and be like, listen, I need you to hold me down? Or do you have the type of family that only comes around when things are good, when you're hot? Everybody loves things that are hot, things that are heating up, things that are blowing up. People love to be a part of that. It's popularity. It's the in thing. And some people only support things that are climbing or that are already hot, things that people are already interested in. Some people are like that. We have to deal with those kinds of people in our lives. But how do you personally deal with people who are like that in your life? Do you tell them, get to stepping, or before I get my weapon and wipe y'all all out? And that's no doubt. I'm tired of y'all. And I tout my... Nah, I'm putting it like this. What do you do? What do you do when the people that you want to be your biggest supporters are really your random supporters? Now, there's no doubt that in my life, personally, y'all are my biggest supporters, without a doubt. Everybody you see in this chat comes here on a regular basis, daily basis. And even if you don't make it every single day visibly, a lot of y'all are listening in the background, checking things out. Y'all have lives. Or y'all check the show out later on, you know what I mean? Peep it when y'all have time and all that kind of stuff. I have to respect the process and say, like, listen, you know what I mean? Look, you might not be able to park yourself in a seat to watch the show at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday or 1 o'clock on the weekends. You might not be able to do it. Doesn't mean that you don't support. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a random supporter. But even if you were, that random is still support. Personally, I'm going to look at it that way. I ain't going to be like, you know what? You know what? Cherry hasn't come through on the show in like a month and a half or something. Yo, don't come back no more. Like, what are you, crazy? Or what are some of our other people that have dropped off a little bit? I was just thinking about her the other day. Charlene Curry. Remember, y'all? Charlene Curry. Charlene Curry. What am I going to say? Well, yeah, you was messing with us. You was rocking with us real hard when we was on Facebook. But now that we on YouTube, you absent. So don't come around no more. No. No. Come on through. The door is open for you and whoever else used to come by. And it will always be open as long as we're here. Naeem? From Bouvier Street? Yo, hold on. My man Naeem, my young boy, the one that used to do the videos with me, yo, when you get a chance, yo, holler at me, man. I've been thinking about you. I still watch those videos. My dude. That's my young boy on the block. He used to be down with the Dollar Boys. They used to dance in my videos or just come through. Yo, I miss y'all, man. The block ain't been the same since you left. I be asking about you. For real. My dude. And it's funny that my young boy would show up. So you got to be like, that was all the way back in 2015. Naeem got to be like, what you like, 17 now? Like 16, 17? My dude. Yo, he's a sight for sore eyes. You 16, that's my man. What grade you in? Yo, this is what I'm talking about. Because he was smart. That was my leader, young boys back in the day. I'm glad you're doing good. That's what's up. But I need you to holler at me. Gotta find a way to get you my number. Anyway. But yeah, you know, whoever comes through and, you know what I'm saying, and supports in any type of way, I'm not going to turn them away. But I realize how sometimes we can get in our feelings and feel some kind of way that somebody that used to be with us all the time is not there like they used to be. But it's not going to service us. It's not going to do us very, very good to, you know, turn people away that are willing to be there and help out. They may not be able, I mean, they have their own lives. They do. People have their own lives. And we don't always understand that. Sometimes we just be like, well, I mean, you could at least do this. Or, you know, when my mom was sick and when my dad passed and when, you know, my brother wasn't doing well, he got locked up and all of that, you wasn't there. You wasn't there, oh, you wasn't there, you act like you ain't cared, and I need something for you, Ed, I had to share this little problem that I was having, can you solve them, can you help me out, can you get involved, man? Well, even if you can't, I need you to try, be around a little more, and you know why, because I love you, I like you, you my miss, and I know that you know what time it is, it's time for us to start trying to blow this. This is the DG show. It's an urban therapy with Son. We going to make sure that we get the job done. It's fun and it's anyway. And so it says military always goes through this, moving all over the world. And oh, military always goes through this, moving all over the world and starting families. Right. Families fall out over not being able to spend time together. True. Around the holidays, people get, you know, family members get together and all of that kind of stuff to, you know, you're going to meet at somebody's house. And you know how it goes. It's always a little side conversation or underground conversation about whose house people are going to meet at that year. Thanksgiving coming through, Christmas coming up. Where are we going? Are we staying in our own crib and inviting people over, or just having it amongst our immediate family members? Or are we going to Big Mama crib? Well, ever since Big Mama passed, it ain't been the same. And I ain't going over my sister's house because, you know, she act like just because we at her house, we can't get comfortable, we can't do this, we can't drink, we can't smoke, we can't, because she's a holy roller, and we can't, so we can't even sit on the furniture. How you going to still have plastic on your... Well, I don't want to go over there. She can't cook that good, no way. And she don't want us to come through anyway if we don't put something on that plate. Well, I think I'm going to stay at the crib. Matter of fact, I don't have a lot to give to you or the rest of your family and crew. And I wish I did, but I don't. So you have to get off my back and cut me some slack and talk to my kids like that. It's going to be a whole problem that you don't want, and I'm tired of you and the way that you front. And so it says, friends fall out over not being able to spend time together. You know, friends of support. If you think about the friends that you used to hang out with in high school, 15, 16 years later, when you like, you know, in your 30s and all of that, and you realize it's really hard to stay in contact with all of the friends or most of the friends that you had when you were young like that. And your view of friendship and what it took to be a friend was a lot different when you were younger than when you got older. Before you had a job, before you had responsibilities, before you had children, before you had a life, before you had a house, before you had a spouse, before you had a whole lot of things, before you had to pay bills on a regular basis, before you had to build up your paper, your money, keep a job, before you had to fight your way in and out of court and take what life has given you, before all of that, you expected your friend. You thought that you and your friends will always be the same. Y'all gonna always be together. We go together like shabba la la la, shiggity boom de boom. Can't always be that way, and we can't always feel some kind of way about it. But we will. We might. How do you deal with your random supporters? I already asked the question. Are your family members your biggest supporters, and is that a requirement for you? Do you need them to be your biggest supporters? Do you need that from your family peeps? Some of us might say yes, some of us might say no. You know, a lot of people feel like their family ain't really family. What do we hear people say all the time? Your blood family ain't always your real family. Your family are the people who look out for you, who have your back, who take care of you, who really support you in some kind of way. Family ain't family no more. I don't know. If they still here, they still family like they were. But we have to take into consideration that we're learning, we're growing, we're advancing, and we're moving on from places that we were before. And a lot of times we get in our feelings because we're really trying to stay in a place that we were before, and we're frustrated that it can't be that way. And we figure it would be that way if some people would only cooperate. If y'all would only just, you know, fall in line and, you know what I mean, it would work out. But no. Well, Yeah. My man Kyle Doom Peace to Sun 752. To the mods and to the chat. Yes, it is very challenging to remain in touch with friends from high school, i.e. priorities as we age, and the main cause of that. Yeah, because you know what, Cal Doom? You're learning, you're growing. Most of us have learned a lot more after high school than we ever knew or even thought about in high school. Some of us cut class a lot, didn't go to school. And think about it. Some of us cut class a lot, didn't go to school, and we blame the school for not teaching us nothing. Oh, well, I would have went more if they was teaching me something. So we want to select our lesson plan. We want to select our curriculum and all that kind of stuff. Well, as a parent, you can do that for your own children. But for you, your parents chose that in some ways, or other authority figures chose that for you. But my point is, we weren't always fortifying ourselves with educational opportunities and material all the time. So the friends that we had and the things that we held on to, that was our world. So we really thought it was going to be like that forever because we didn't expect ourselves to learn and grow and put new material that had to replace the old material that we had already memorized and were comfortable with. Life is all about trying to get comfortable. No matter how you slice it or which way you get comfortable, we want to be kept comfortable because being comfortable means that you're safe. It means that you feel protected, and it means that now you are free of stress and you can go about your life doing the best that you can in whatever activities that you participate in. When you're uncomfortable, it could be because you're afraid. It could be because you're unsure. It could be because you're insecure, a whole lot of things. And being in high school and being in college also has a lot to do with insecurity because we don't know ourselves yet. We're young. And other people in the world shape the way that we see each other and the way that we see ourselves and the way that we see the world. It's all about everybody else for a hot minute. Then we get a little older, and you know, Cal Doom, life takes us away from the people that we even probably wanted to hang around with. It separates us for a while because I think that one of the reasons that life separates us from other people or from some people that we would rather not be separated from is because we have to. We have to learn. We have to learn to live on our own. We have to learn to make it on our own. Not necessarily totally independent, because that's not what life is about. But we have to learn to be self-sufficient to the point where we don't start using other people as a crutch. And we tend to do that. It's part of our comfort zone. But we have to also understand and respect the fact that other people are growing in the direction that they're growing in, and we may not always be a part of that. We may not always be able to participate in that. So if you're able to keep up to five strong friends from high school, you're doing something, like in constant connection with them, in constant contact with them. You're doing something. That's large, man. That's large. Freedom and justice now. My man Roz. What's up, my dude? That's my man's. And so Jones says, college people pick the classes, but the skill set may not be needed. Interesting. He also says, friendship has different meanings for people. Yes, they do. So not only does friendship have different meanings for different people, but so does support. The word support, it doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. It totally does not play out the same way with everybody as we would like for it to play out with ourselves. And sometimes some of us get mad about that. Like, well, why not? All you have to do is put in a little effort. Sometimes they're right. You can find some time out during your day to send out a text. Even if you, honestly, you may not have time to pick up a phone, but you can send a little text in the commission of doing something else since you don't have no time. And so says, being cool at work and being friends All right. So I think what you're trying to say is, you know, when you befriend people that you work with at the job, on the job or whatever, sometimes it's a little different than when you invite those people from work into your personal life. Man, I wish. I don't know. Over the years, I have relied less and less on the support and love and friendship from people that I work with. But that's me, because I've had to conduct myself in a certain kind of way, rather unorthodox at most of the jobs that I've had. But that's me. How do you deal with your random supporters? Like I was asking before, earlier in the show, do you turn people away that aren't with you every day? You wasn't there when we were shooting, 300, I don't know what's wrong with my brain today, 300 free throws in the gym. I'm like, so what? Only person that needs to be with you when you're shooting 300 or 100 free throws in the gym is your coach. Get your form right. T.K. Wright says, some people want a level of support that they aren't willing to or able to give. Well. And that's true. And she also says, I want to support more than I do, but there are only so many hours in the day. I look up sometimes and days have passed. You're right. Now, why is it that you can see that and so many people can't see that? Why is it you can understand why you may not see somebody that you would like to see more often? Why is it that you can understand that, or you can pick it apart and find some reasoning in it when other people be like, no new friends. Oh, please. Who is that who said no new friends? Wasn't that Drake? I'm telling you, these rappers be killing me. You're talking about some no new friends. Forget about that. I want to hear you say, no new sales. Don't buy my album. If you ain't bought my last album, don't buy this one. You going to do that? I think not. No. I don't think we going to do that. You might not want to play them types of games. That's a dangerous path to go through, go down financially. No new sales. Don't buy my new album if you ain't buy my last album. So there are many times we teach a lesson that we can't follow ourselves. right with that for this reason. I'm all right with that because you know how so many times we are conditioned to say things like, how you gonna tell me how to get my life right when your life ain't right? How you gonna tell me to get my shit together and you ain't got your shit together? Probably the same way as your coach shows you how to play better when he ain't playing. Probably the same way the owner of a team has a team that he insists play great when he never played the game a day in his life. Probably like that. It's not always about what somebody else is doing that you can take an example from. Starts with the word, baby. It starts with the word. Every action starts with the word. But they say action speaks louder than words. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, I've been debunking that theory for years. Like, actions don't speak louder than words. Louder words speak louder than words. Actions say what they say. And they say a lot of different things to different people. If we didn't learn that actions don't speak louder than words, from any example, all we have to do is go back to the Trump era. Last year, the year before, year before, year before. Trump supporters will tell you at the drop of a dime, he's doing all of these things behind the scenes. It's all about policy. Y'all worried about what he's saying on camera. And I'm like, well, his actions behind the scenes aren't something that we can interpret. Because y'all not seeing his actions behind the scenes. Y'all seeing transcripts of his supposed actions behind the scenes. But how are you going to be on the scene of the TV all the time and be doing anything behind the scenes? That's not him. He has a team of people around him that you may have been seeing policy changes with. It wasn't him. He's on TV all day. But he was a shining, glaring example of how action don't. Sorry, y'all. This colon ream. Okay. Better. He was a glaring example of how actions don't speak louder than words. Actions are misinterpreted even more than words are a lot of times. At least with words, we'll say, well, you know, even if we understand what somebody was saying and where they was going with it, we'll ask, you know, you ain't have to say it like that. But with somebody's actions, we'd be like, I ain't got no words for that. I saw you. Ain't nothing you can say about that. Nothing you can say. No. TK Wright says, I don't turn away people who are sincerely looking to support. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't. And that's not to say that there won't be another motive that they have for supporting you. But sometimes you have to take what you can get. I learned that from the dinner table with liver. Ooh. Liver! I thought my mom wasn't supportive of me because she cooked liver. Random, y'all. Have you ever ate a meal where the side dishes are much better than the entree. Like, yo, let me get another plate of stuffed mushrooms. Nah, man, take that steak back. Get that chicken out of here. No, I don't want none of that lamb. Give me another plate of hot wings, some stuffed mushrooms, and some mozzarella sticks. Yeah, we're going to eat a la carte. We eating a la carte tonight. The entree garbage. That's how I always felt about liver. The mashed potatoes and gravy was pro. It was great. But that liver that it was next to, not so great. Not so great. And so Jones says, everybody can't be in the circle. No, they can't. It would be nice if they could. But they can't. They can't. Everybody can't fit in the car. Everybody can't fit in the car. So, you know, still we rise, baby. Still we rise. Your random supporters. I don't know. I don't see the benefit of turning people away who are trying to help you or support you or at least acknowledge you. Why would you turn them away like a rejected lover? No, you ain't want me when I was skinny and I was broke and I was ugly. Now that I'm thick and paid and beautiful, now you want to be down. T. Caddy Wright says, I hate liver and gizzards. She wrote that in caps. So I'm going to believe her. Now, I think I like gizzards. But I'm not sure because my mom used to make these things called giblets. And I'm not sure if those were what gizzards were. There was these things called giblets. I don't know what the hell I was eating, man. When we was kids, like these kids nowadays, they eating a whole lot of processed meals or whatever, so they may not know what they eating, but we really didn't know what we was eating, and we was eating real food, or so we thought. Stacey White says, that's why you're going to have liver for dinner. Yeah. Let's see, how long has it been since I ate liver? I haven't eaten liver since I was a kid. And I have it on my schedule never to eat it again. Under any circumstances.
They hit their home run with the double album Speaker Box / The Love Below, two solo projects rolled into one, which sold over 10 million albums, thanks to the massive hit Hey Ya by Andre 3000 and I Like the Way You Move by Big Boy.
Shut up.
While they've experimented with careers and acting, they are better together than apart.
Shut up. Okay, yeah, so there is a such thing as giblets. The word giblets, pronounced with a soft G, refers to the hearts, livers, and gizzards of poultry, many chickens and turkeys. These items are often but not always packaged up and included within the body of the cavity of a whole chicken or turkey, usually with the neck and sometimes with the kidneys too. But I don't like hearts, and I don't like liver. So what was I eating? What was I eating? I remember what they looked like, but now that I'm thinking about what they look like, I don't want to think about that. I don't know. Were we eating chicken balls? I don't know. I'm feeling some kind of way. I think I've been bamboozled. Ansel Jones says, I look for labels now. A lot of food numbers and colors. That's right. The numbers that tell you what's GMO. You know, if it starts with a 9, that's straight organic. Anything else? They tell you that if it starts with a 3 or 4, that means standard GMO is genetically modified organisms. Organic. If it has a label 3 or that starts with the numbers 3 or 4, they call it standard. In other words, it's grown the regular way, not GMO, but no, it's GMO. It's GMO. Freedom and Justice Now says, with all the wonderful, tasty, fruity flavors, they will put a smile on you. That will put a smile on your face. That's right, Freedom and Justice Now. No liver. No. We're not eating that. We're not eating that. Man, listen. Shit is real out here. It's real. Very real. All right. Oh, before we get out of here, for all of the women listening to this show, I want to say Happy Mother's Day early. I want to say Happy Mother's Day, and I hope that tomorrow brings y'all all of the joy that hopefully motherhood has brought to you. Peace and love and much respect to each and every one of y'all. Y'all have done y'all part to populate this earth and to, or should I say, populate this world. And most of you have done the best job that you could to raise us in a way that is respectable, respectful, worthy, and of high value. Love, peace, and respect to all of the great mothers out there. And thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your service. I really do. All right, y'all. We're going to get ready to get on the party here. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. May 7th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Georgette Bowen. Happy birthday to you. And sorry, Paul. Turning 35 years old today, and also Denise Bush turning 56 years old today, and Tamara Turner turning 59 years old today, and William J. Ashmore turning 46 years old today, and Becky McGaster, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my peoples, Ivy Lynn. I want to say happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. May 7th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, yo, check it out, y'all. Dealing with your random supporters, you may not even be able to deal with your greatest or number one supporters at all times. One thing that's important for us to realize is that we're constantly evolving, growing, advancing. We're trying to organize ourselves, organize our thoughts, organize our lives. And each and every one of us are trying to do that. So, you know, I would encourage people to try to keep the bond strong that you've had with people over the years. Keep the love there and be there when you can. Try your hardest not to let people feel like you've forgotten about them, don't care about them, neglecting them, or have casted them aside, because nobody feels good in that scenario. But when good people have not necessarily exited from your life but faded out and they're trying to color themselves back in, I would say give them a chance. You may need that same chance again one day. So as you remember the good times, don't turn away the new good times because you feel like somebody threw away the old good times and you mad. Yeah, you mad? Come on, man. We're going to work through it. Will there be a show tomorrow? I think so. I don't want to interrupt y'all Mother's Day, so we're going to see about it. Nonetheless, I got a lot to do today, so I'm about handle my B.I., even though I just want to climb back in the bed. Yo, nigga, tired. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. So with that being said, yo, Blog Talk, we out of here. And for my YouTubers, you know just how. For my YouTubers, you know.